welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This is the penultimate episode of the season, as next week will be the last one for the 2020-21 season, a season which I'm sure you'll all agree we're looking forward to putting to bed once and for all. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as usual is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Good evening.
Right, this week we'll be looking back at the post-split games involving Peterhead, and we'll plot what manager Jim McAnally might do in the summer months before the start of the new campaign. We'll also hear from the manager Jim McAnally, Kieran Freeman and Danny Strachan following Saturday's defeat to Forfar. So, Martin, almost there. Season is finished. Unbelievable to think that back in October we were going to be in a situation where we might not have gotten the season finished, but we've finally got in there in the end.
It's been the longest, shortest season ever. It seems such a long time ago since October, when, you know, even going back the month before that, there was still uncertainty of whether the league would go ahead and then how many games would be played and, you know, all the testing that was mentioned round about then. So for everyone, not just Peterhead, but for every club to be able to get the games done and dusted, barring one game tonight in the next hour or so, then yeah, it's massive testament to all the clubs.
I think it's, as you said, it's testament to all the clubs, as we said, I think a couple of weeks ago, to get all these games played in such a short space of time. So everybody, not in League, just in League 1, but League 2 as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I know when they came back in March, everyone was in the same boat, that they knew the amount of fixtures that were going to have to be played. But it's one thing thinking about how you're going to do it. It's another thing putting in practicality. We've got to remember these guys are part-time. They're travelling the length of the country to play games on a Tuesday evening. Sometimes we're playing 3-4 times a week. So it's unprecedented. I doubt we'll see the likes again, you know, with part-time clubs. So, yeah, massive testament to them all.
And before we kind of get on to the four games, what did you make of the split then? Because in the end, it both ends, really, there was a bit of excitement, even to the virtually the last kicks of the games.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I'm not the biggest fan of the splits, I've got to be honest. But last night, it proved quite entertaining. The last 5 minutes, obviously, in our game that we'll touch on later on, with Dumbarton getting a late winner, it, you know, massive consequences for Clyde. And obviously at the top end, Falkirk dropping out of the playoff positions, which is unthinkable to think back in March, the lead that they had to then blow it in spectacular style. You know, Montrose beating Partick Thistle and Airdrie beating Falkirk. So yeah, as I said, I'm not a fan of the split personally, but I think last night it proved, you know, quite exciting towards the tail end of the games.
From a Peterhead standpoint, even before sort of coming into the four, you could almost say that, you know, they were certainly clear of 10th. They were almost guaranteed clear at 9th. So I wouldn't say they were dead rubbers as such, but, you know, they still had something to play for.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first game, when we beat Clyde, I think at that point we were all, you know, quite confident that we'd not be dragged into anything. Had that Clyde game gone the other way, then potentially there could have been something that gets a little bit nervy. But, yeah, I think given the seasons we've had previously and the worry of the fear of relegation and whatnot, I think it was good that we could win the last couple of games. As you said, almost dead rubbers. Not much personally for Peterhead to play for, but apart from personal pride, you know, these guys are, obviously, they're part-time players, but they're professional enough to realise that they've got to go out and do a job. And, you know, in the back of their minds, they're maybe thinking they're playing for their futures. They don't know what maybe Jim's got in mind. So going into the last week or so, you want to put in a good performance and make sure that your performance stands out in the manager's mind.
So there's four games. And I guess in typical Peterhead kind of fashion, as things have been in the last couple of seasons, it was two wins, two defeats. Two very good wins, followed by two very poor defeats.
Yeah, consistently inconsistent is how it's summed up our season. But the first one was a fantastic win against Clyde, as I said a moment ago. I think that just sort of eased any worries that we maybe had. And then going down to East Fife at that point, was it just a point we needed? I think it was. And then just before half time, we've sort of, you know, a bit sloppy for Kieran Freeman at that point, and we've allowed them to score, and you think, well, we still need a point. You don't want to be coming to the road with a defeat and then going into the last two games. Managed to claw it back and get a win. Yeah, and it was two good results, and as you said, we followed up with two disappointing defeats. But, you know, over the course of the season, it's been a reasonably satisfying one.
So we'll start with the Clyde win then. Just a matter of weeks prior, Clyde came up here and won 2-0. Whether or not you felt that they deserved that or not, it was a very good goal. The opening goal was to get the first goal. But it was important not only just to win the game, but it was to put in a good performance, and I think that's what they did second half, certainly.
Yeah, the first game you touched on there, we got beat. I don't think it was a particularly bad performance. I just felt that on their day, Clyde scored two goals and they were worthy winners in terms of we didn't really play particularly well, but again, not particularly bad. And then obviously they've come up the other week, 24th, and as you said, it was the second half. We'd gone in 0-0, and we're thinking, you know, if depending on how Clyde came out, because I thought they were okay first half, they caused us one or two problems back then. And then we've come out in the second half. We've got the early penalty, but it was the second goal just minutes after. And I think that sort of killed the game. And then we've gone, you know, 15, 20 minutes before the end, gotten a third. I thought we deserved the win that afternoon. And yeah, Clyde were, once they went the two goals in quick succession, they were never really coming back in the game, I felt.
We've got to mention Hamish Ritchie's second goal, which killed the game off altogether. A brilliant solo effort.
Yeah, not only is a goal good, but at that point as well, the pressing, we've mentioned it the last couple of weeks. I don't know whether something's changed with the guys in gym, but there seems to be a better determination and hunger to try and win the ball back. Before it was maybe getting into shape but still not winning it. I think now if we lose the ball, we're going forward as a team and trying to win the ball back. And that, as you said, Hamish has won it back superbly well against the right back, and he's winning an amazing run. He sort of, it looks like he's fallen over his feet, but he somehow managed to poke it in the back of the net. And as you said, a fantastic finish for the young man.
It's almost defending from the front, is the cliched phrase. The front three, if you like, are, you know, getting in the faces of the opposition back four, which is maybe something we hadn't seen in the first half of the season.
Yeah, I think it coincides personally for me with Naya Payne coming into the squad. I think it's almost like he's the person. If he starts pressing, then, like I say, Hamish will know to the press, and Scott Brown comes pressing. I think maybe with the strikers that we've had previously, we couldn't do that. I don't think Ben Armour's got that in him to press for, you know, 60, 70 minutes. Isaac Lane, you know, there's reservations over his performances. I don't think he was going to manage to do that either. So Naya Payne coming in, he holds the ball up well, and I think it just allows us that pressing a little bit more, and we can defend a lot higher up the pitch as well. So I think with him coming in, it's sort of set the tone for the rest of the guys that they can press and they can push that a little bit higher up. And it's turned out, you know, we've got a good couple of performances and results with him in the squad as well.
And Scott Brown taking the penalty as well after the previous penalty was missed down at four for Stephen Boyd. So it was good to see the captain sort of taking responsibility, and I think if I remember correctly as well, he pretty much just grabbed the ball as soon as the penalty was given us and made the kind of gesture like, I'm taking it, and that was it.
Yeah, which is good to see. I know that Boyd was struggling for confidence. I know why he wanted to take the penalty against Forfar. He wanted to get that goal, but you know, it wasn't to be. And rightly so, captain, he stepped up. He's claimed that he was confident. He'd been a good performance in the first half as well. And he wanted a goal. And, you know, he stuck it away with no qualms.
And Lenny Wilson in goal, second game in the league for him. And it was his second clean sheet, which doesn't happen very often. So it was good for him to get back-to-back games, but also back-to-back clean sheets.
Yeah, his confidence would have been sky-high back then. As you said, he'd come into the squad, two clean sheets. He didn't have much to do in either game. But, you know, not only is a goalkeeper and got to save shots, his command of his area and his positioning was really good. Again, I'm talking about defence being higher up. It means your goalkeeper's got to have a good starting position as well. And I felt in both games he did that. And, yeah, his communication, obviously the stadiums are pretty quiet at the moment. We're able to hear most of what's being said. And, you know, you can hear his communication with him and, you know, particularly Jason Brown. They seem to be having a good relationship as well. So, no, overall, it was a positive week back then.
And as we usually say after a win against Clyde, it's good to win, but it's even better to win against Clyde.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a couple of things put towards us a few weeks ago when we lost on the Tuesday evening, so it was nice to dish out a little bit on the Saturday evening as well.
Yeah, they seemed to disappear after that one. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, they were pretty quiet on the social media, shall we say.
Maybe their Wi-Fi wasn't working.
Of course.
Right, the second game post-split was East Fife away. Tough place to go, but again, come away scoring three goals in a 3-1 win. As you said earlier, we did go behind after a mistake from Kieran Freeman.
Yeah, like I touched on slightly earlier, we knew going into that game we just needed a point. You worried potentially that when we went a goal down at that point, maybe it wasn't going to be at East Fife, but it was good character from the boys. I think last season, when you go a goal down, I think the heads would have dropped. I think we spoke to Jim about that. The heads maybe dropped last season, but this season there seems to be that hunger and determination to try and get back into games, and we did it just before half-time. I think that was a key thing going in at half-time level to give us that platform to go on.
It was the second mistake, or certainly the second most notable mistake from Kieran since he's come back from the restart. He's been consistently playing well. It's just more notable since the restart that there had been a little bit more mistakes. I know he's playing in a position that's not really his natural at left back, but the mistakes that he made, you would think that those are ones that he'll maybe look back on and think he should have done better.
Yeah, I think positional wise for the first one, he was sort of cut out and then it was a ball across. The one down at East Fife is just it's a poor touch. It's allowed, you know, it's not really much of a bad pass either. It's sort of twists in between.
In between the two. He wants to kind of clear it, but he also wants to get it back to his keeper and maybe the keeper's called for it. It's one of those, but
it was a strange one. Like I said, the character in him, he went on to then have a good second half. And like I said previously, heads maybe would have dropped and they've maybe been more liable and suspect to another mistake. But I think overall his performance has been really good. He's obviously set that standard quite high, that's the two things that we're picking up as mistakes. At this level, I think he's done well. And, you know, if the opportunity for him to come back next season were there, then I think, speak for myself, maybe the club, I would like to think they'd be willing to take him back.
But then the evergreen Derek Lyle gets us back in the game, 40-year-old, but still bagging him in. It was his first of the season. I think it was his first in over a year as well. Interesting that he started that game as well, which was a bit of a strange one for us, I think, when we saw the team sheet. But it just shows that, you know, he keeps himself fit and it gets himself in the right places.
Yeah, Derek Lyle is your utmost professional. You know, as you said, 4-year-old, and he's still able to put in a shift. And, you know, it's not just a token gesture of him coming on. There's a reason why he comes on. He's, you know, you're not going to get the pace in behind. Evidently, you're not. But you get that. He's got that strength. He's not the tallest of guys, but he'll win the headers, he'll win the flick on, he'll be a nuisance to defenders. I mean, if you've played 70 minutes and you see Derek Lyle coming on, you think, oh, my evening, you know, my afternoon's not going to get any easier. And that's what I think happened to East Fife. They maybe weren't expecting him to play, maybe throw a spanner on their works. And then also his goal, you know, it's a typical striker finish. It's come across him and his right foot in the bottom corner. And again, the timing of the goal was crucial as well. But yeah, a fantastic professional.
Second half, we saw Andy McDonald score and Danny Strachan score as well. Both their first goals for their new clubs. Danny Strachan's first career goal as well, but we'll talk about his one in a minute. Andy McDonald's free kick. If it's what he's going to be producing for the next sort of 5-6 years, I'd be quite happy to see him win free kicks.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When I seen the footage, and I thought, is that Andy McDonald stepping up to take the free kick? But that is where centre half. But, you know, fantastic finish. So evidently he's got that in his locker. It's maybe something that many clubs might not know. But yeah, he had the confidence to step up, and he's put away a beautiful free kick. And again, the goal timing was differential there as well, just a couple of minutes after half time. So you've gone from being a goal down just before the break to getting back into it and then going 2-1 in front. And I think it was massive. You've seen the confidence rising, the passing that was going around thereafter. Yeah, fantastic to go 2-1 in the lead.
And bear in mind as well, we're still, mathematically, we could still have caught East Fife. So we could have finished sixth, which,
yeah,
you know, after the split doesn't really mean anything. But for the club, you know, it's an extra few pound signs between sixth and seventh.
Yeah, I think finishing sixth would have just shown that there is quality in that squad. It just hasn't been shown enough, and it just shows you a couple more wins and you just, you know, what might have been. You know, I said earlier on, it is a satisfying season, but you just wonder if you got a couple more wins. Like every club, they'll be thinking the same, just a couple more and what could have been and what ifs. It's all hypothetical now. But yeah, there is a good squad there, and you're just looking for next season to go and push on a bit more.
And young Donny Starkin, as I said, got his first career goal. Lovely little goal from the right back. He's been a really good find, especially the second half. Has played well and started 4 or 5 games in a row as well. So he's come on leaps and bounds recently.
Yeah, absolutely. He took a couple of weeks to settle in before he sort of forced his way into Jim's plans. But you could see when he came off the bench a few times, he looks a good player, and he's only going to get better, whether that's with us next season or whether it's Dundee or another club. I think he's got good potential. You know, I'd expect him to see him a lot, playing a lot wherever he goes next season.
And he's got that attacking intent, I should say, going forward. So it maybe doesn't surprise us too much that we found him in that position, you know, deep into the 18-yard box. And as I said, it was a lovely composed finish from him.
It seems to be a position that Jim likes, you know, that right back, but an attacking right back. It also gives us that width if the midfielder's cutting inside. So, as you said, he's a good find. Somebody Jim's been keeping tabs on for a wee while, which is, you know, it's not a surprise. Jim will bring someone in if he knows him pretty well. You know, he's seen what they can do. Young lad, and like I said, I think he'll be an important player for a team next season.
We should maybe end it there and not mention anything else. But we've got the other two. We've got the Forfar game. Forfar, we've now played them 3 times. We've lost twice, both at home, and drew away in a 1-1 draw. That's the kind of results that you want to kind of almost assess your season on. I know the likes of, you know, Park Thistle games, the Falkirk games, etc., aren't the ones you're expecting to win, but it's the ones that when against teams around about you, that's the ones you think, you know, like, okay, that's the benchmark. So the fact that we've only taken 1 point off them to a team who's now been relegated, it shows just how maybe inconsistent we've been.
Yeah, that's the disappointing side of the season, in my opinion. There was a defeat on the Tuesday night to Clyde as well. It sort of makes the really good results against Falkirk and Airdrie almost redundant if you're not going to beat the teams below you. And I know it doesn't just work a case of, well, you beat the teams below you and you lose to the teams above. But, as you said, 1 point against Forfar, who aren't a great side. There's a reason why they've been relegated. And I go back to the what-if moments. You know, if we'd taken, you know, another win or a draw against Forfar, you're then, you know, top half when the split arrives. So it's those little things that frustrate us because we know we can do it. They've proved that. They've beaten Airdrie. They've beaten Falkirk. We gave Partick Thistle a run for their money for the best part of the first half, I think it was. They turned the screw in the second half. But that's the frustrating part, that we've only taken 1 point from the 3 games.
The biggest surprise or shock maybe was the change of goalkeeper for that game. You know, we'd seen Lenny Wilson 3 games in a row, played well, done really nothing wrong, conceded 1 goal, but as we said, it maybe wasn't his fault as such. So then to throw Josh back in for that game, was a bit of a surprise to us, but we did think he was, you know, capable and up for it.
Yeah. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, but I personally would have left Lenny Wilson in goals. Aged three games, don't think he'd really done much wrong. So I think Lenny can count himself harsh to have been dropped. There's maybe other factors in the background we don't know, but personally I'd have left Lenny in goals. And yeah, the goalkeeping situation proved to be key moments in the game against Forfar. And I'm sure one that when Josh looks back, or maybe has looked back in it now, he'll be frustrated with his own performance, as were a couple of the players on Saturday afternoon as well. It's difficult for a goalkeeper because normally if they make a mistake, it'll end in a goal conceded. But the mistakes, considering how well Josh has played in games this season, it's one that's, or both of them, he'll look back and disappointed with.
I mean, before we sort of pick up the mistakes, he did have, I think it was one really good save from a corner. Ironically, the corner came from his mistake when he mishit a back pass. But, you know, he saved the header. So, you know, he's got that in it, but it just seemed to be off from the kickoff.
Decision-making and concentration, it's something that I've touched on a few times. It's just something in the back of my mind. I think, I don't know whether it's in games where he's not as active for a goalkeeper as maybe what he'd want. I just think that the decision-making and his concentration goes, as you touched on there, the back pass. Acres of time to weigh out what he's going to do, and then, you know, fluffed his lines and it went out for a corner. Granted, he recovered well with a good save, but you're putting your team under unnecessary pressure. And, you know, it's something you can't really do. He'll be disappointed with his performance. I know a couple of the guys were afterwards as well, but it's one of them things he'll need to dust himself down and then, you know, see what it's going to do for next season.
We should say this was a 4-4 team that were all but relegated. I mean, mathematically, yeah, we could still survive. They needed results to go their way, so we knew they were coming up to win the game. They had to. But, as we said, the two goals that we've conceded have both come from big mistakes.
I don't think Forfar were really going to cause us much of a problem. It was our own downfall that's gifted them the win. I know Danny's unlucky with the first one, but again, the goalkeeper can see the bigger picture. He can see the ball coming. His position wasn't the best. The second one is, you know, that is a bad one for a goalkeeper. As you said, Forfar were coming up for the win. They knew they had to win. So it maybe played in their hands slightly, but they didn't really cause us too much of a problem. I thought, whilst we didn't create much, I thought we were the better team for the majority of it. But again, architects were on downfall. It's something that we've both felt that they'd been cut out this season, the personal mistakes from last season. So it was disappointing that that crept in the Forfar game.
Scott Brown's goal, though, was kind of the highlight for us. Well worked the free kick in the wide area, and the result in him finding the postage stamp.
Yeah, we're both fans of Forfar's Mark McCallum. I think he's a good keeper. I know stats suggest otherwise, but, you know, I think without him in goals, he'd have been relegated weeks ago, mathematically as well. Good goalkeeper, very good shot stopper, but, you know, you could have two goalkeepers in goals there. And he's not saving that one. Great effort by Scott Brown. Postage stamp right in the top corner. Maybe saving that.
No, and it's good for him to... It's good that we can see Scott getting those efforts as well, because I think there's a few occasions this season where he's almost been reluctant to pull the trigger for some reason.
It's one of them, he seems to want to get in a better position. He maybe feels that there's guys in better positions at the time, but, you know, when he's got that range in his locker, he scored a wonderful volley, half volley, the other week as well. So he's got in his locker, he did it last season as well. You know, he chips in with goals. He maybe needs to take more shots and believe in himself a little bit more from a good 15, 20 yards out, just to hit your laces through it and, you know, get it on target and, you know, make the keeper save it.
Yep, so before we speak about the last one, as we said, Ella, we did catch up with Jim and a couple of players. So here's Jim about the 4-4 defeat.
Jim, disappointing way to finish the home season off the back of three good wins. It wasn't really a game that sparked into life at any point.
No. and I kind of had, you kind of expect it to a certain extent, because you know they had a wee edge to them, and they were going to, you know, keep at it. And to be fair, they've had three shots at goal the whole game and scored two goals. You know what I mean? So you know, I thought defensively we were fine. We worked really hard. You know, our players that make us a wee bit different sometimes than they have the best of days. But we still worked hard, and we, you know, you can't legislate for goals like that. You know what I mean? I mean, I thought the first goal was a bad mistake. So I know by Danny. I mean, for me, Josh should have been picking the ball when they come through. But the boys kept at it, you know, and we score a good equaliser, and you think, well, the worst we're going to do here is draw. So
it's a common theme though this season, is mistakes, and it's cost us a few times.
But there's mistakes, and you know, the three goals that we've conceded in two games have been self-inflicted mistakes that the other team actually haven't imposed on us. You know, we've done that ourselves. So, you know, the thing is, it's all young players that's been involved, and you know, you just hope they learn from their mistakes. You know what I mean? So, it's not hurt us. You know, we obviously come back for it the other night. Thought we'd come back for it today. And you know, I'm pretty sure if we didn't concede the second goal, we would have went on and got the second. Because I thought actually the second half we started better on the front foot and with a better control of the game, you know, I was quite pleased. But
is that the positive this season, that maybe last season when we went a goal down, the heads might drop slightly, but this season I always feel that the characters in the squad that would come back against them for the game.
Aye. But you know, especially when it happens for the second goal today, you can. You know, you visibly see guys slumping and think, oh God, here we go again, you know. But they still keep trying to come back. And the other team, you know, I felt at one each forfeit had given up the ghost a wee bit, you know what I mean? And then they get a goal or nothing. And as I said, it's a goal I've not even seen. So, because when, as soon as I seen Jason Head on the back, I shouted something out to somebody. And then I just heard the commotion. So, well, I'm not dwelling on it, because it's been too good recently to worry about it. And if it was a case of getting ripped apart with Orford, or you know, that they dominated us, or you know, I would be more worried.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a case of that. It was a case of shooting myself in the foot. And at least we can do something about that, you know.
Is it disappointing when you look back now and you think, well, you've only got a point off of Orford, who's now been relegated, and you think, that's a maybe a team we should be beating, but
aye,
we've only come along with one point.
I know. And it's strange how games turn out like that. I mean, we've had total domination in the three games, and yet it took nothing out of them. And I said to the boys at half time today, I says, I know it's tough, and so let's make sure that we start turning these games into draws, if nothing else. You know, if you're not going to win them, you draw them. Because we don't draw a lot of games. And, you know, so it's just all learning curve. You know, I'm not too disappointed, because, you know, we've achieved our goal. But I was kind of a want to catch up with the teams above us, even, you know. But listen, we'll still go again on Tuesday at Dumbarton. We'll go down there and we'll be professional and we'll try and do our job and make the game honest, as honest as we can, because Dumbarton will be fired up. And, you know, so.
Yeah, they'll be keen to get in and finish in ninth.
So it's good to a certain extent,
yeah.
Because if it's a dead rubber, you know, anything can happen, but it's not a dead rubber, and to be honest, the game, so that's good, you know. And that wee extra day makes all the difference.
You made six changes before this game. Are you making similar kind of changes again on Tuesday?
I don't know, but just because we've got the extra bit of time, you know, I'll just wait up. Obviously, it looks like Kyle's going to miss it, but Andy will be back, and at least we've never had the Z7 apps available for the Gimmick. Really,
well,
for a while.
Job will be easier than to get your back for.
So Andy will be back, and I don't think there's any more injuries. It was good to see. I didn't mind Cookie on as long as that, but he looked quite strong when he went on. So it's pleasing to see him back.
So season's obviously got one more game left. As you said, you've got league one again for next season. Hard work starts for planning for next season.
Aye. We'll try to get around them, and while we've, you know, got them here and talking to them and stuff like that. So we've done that today. We've got around some of them, and we'll continue just to get a lot done the new, and then it makes it easier. I mean, as we said before, with a team with good legs in it, and you know, we just need to, you know, just try and get one or two players just to improve us a wee bit more.
Is it important to try and keep the nucleus
majority
of this squad?
Aye, no doubt about that, no doubt. So that's what we're trying to do, and as I said, I think if we could get a couple, you know, another striker, maybe another centre half. You know, if we can retain the midfield, then there's not many better midfields than about. So we're okay, we're not in a bad position. And as I say, if you're watching the game today and you thought, oh, they were outran or outplayed or out fought, and that didn't happen, you know, just shot ourselves in the foot, you know.
Okay, that was manager Jim McAnally after the 4-4 defeat. We'll hear from Danny Strachan, but first of all, we're going to hear from Kieran Freeman.
Kieran, disappointing end to the run. Of Austin, now relegated Forfar. How did you sum it up?
We didn't do enough to win the game anyways, but it's frustrating the way we've lost the goals. Didn't really do much about it, but we would have liked to have got the 4 in a row. I don't think they've done that in a while. We're well and capable of doing that, but just didn't quite do it. Main thing is we're safe.
Yeah, the objective was to get to stay in the league, but first half was pretty poor, shall we say. What did the manager say to you at half time?
Just have a bit more belief. I think we were just waiting for that final bit of magic, like that we've got at the top end of the pitch. It just takes once for that to happen, and then we're ahead, and then the full team is confident, but just didn't quite happen. And then we sort of just, once you concede a goal, your head sort of, they get momentum, and it's hard to get that back. But we still had a bit of a go at the end. So they have a lot to play for, thinking that they were going to stay up, but it's not enough. And then
for one mistake to cost you a goal, two mistakes in one game is just unthinkable.
These things happen. I know that myself. But I mean, they've been good all season, both of them, so can't really. We should probably be scoring more than me myself. I've had a golden chance and I nearly hit it that bad that it went in.
I was going to say, it seemed to kind of always spin on the line backwards.
Yeah, I think if I hit it any better, it would have been in, but it's just one of them days, I think.
You've had a run at left back recently. How have you enjoyed that?
I enjoy just being on the pitch. When he names the team and your name's on it, you're happy. I'm more comfortable at the back, so I prefer that to midfield. So obviously, I've played there before in the youth career, so it's been enjoyable.
How have you enjoyed your loan spell then?
Hopefully we don't end it like on a loss like today, but it's been really good. I've really enjoyed it. Obviously it's a bit of a stop-start season. I think we sort of stopped with had a bit of momentum going, and then as soon as we came back we had a bit of momentum. But I think it's been really good. I think we've done well. We've achieved what we wanted to achieve. Let's go end it on a win on Tuesday.
Has it been a good experience for you then?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think with all my injuries down at Southampton, I think I've maybe played 6 or 7 games in a season, so my body feels it now in the last 2 games, but hopefully just to play 20 games a season, like, it's exactly what I need, and it's been great under McAnally, I guess.
And so what happens to you next season? Do you know what the plans are?
You'll know more than me. I'll just I'll be back in training for a few weeks after Tuesday. Hopefully they go and win the Scottish Cup, and then back in for pre-season. See how that goes.
Danny, disappointing result. Can you sum it up?
Yeah, disappointing. Obviously, personally as well, with the own goal. Should just clear it with left foot instead, but it's one of them things. Mistake. Try to bounce back up and keep going the rest of the game, but just two mistakes cost us in the end.
Did you feel it was a game that was getting away from you, or did you think you could still, you know?
No, I think we could still obviously get back into it. Because what we saw in the last few games, we were playing really well, some really good stuff. So we can always be, I think we could beat any team in this league when we're playing at our best. So I never thought it was out of reach. We're always getting back in it.
And how have you enjoyed the last few games? You've been getting a few starts.
Yeah, I've loved it since I've come in. Really enjoyed it. Well, especially since I've started the last 4 or 5 games. But it's just been really good to get playing again. Because I've not played much this year at all. Obviously with COVID, no reserve games or anything. So great to get here. Get some first team experience as well. Really enjoyed it.
And how have you found against kind of seasoned pros and guys who, no offence, are slightly bigger built than you are and things?
It's difficult. You have to adjust to it because it's not nothing like playing youth football. Obviously, it's completely different. Much harder as well. It was a lot quicker than I expected coming into it as well. But I think I've adapted fairly well in Donald Gray since I've been in.
Has it been a good learning curve for you then, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Just great experience to be playing at a good level. Obviously, only one league below Dundee, where I'm on loan from. So come out here and get game time under my belt is brilliant.
Was it good playing for a manager we think tried to sign you a couple of years ago? So obviously kept tabs on you and then had the opportunity to bring you in.
Yeah, definitely. When I left Aberdeen a couple of years ago, I trained here. I think it was just a couple of weeks in pre-season where I was looking for a club. And then obviously I probably could have come here, but then I went, decided I wanted to be full-time since I was just at that age, I wanted to be full-time football. And then when the opportunity arose to come here a month or so ago, I was delighted when it came up. I was just really happy that obviously the gaffer here had still been keeping tabs on me. He'd been at one of the reserve games last season as well, just to keep watching, see how I was getting on.
Do you know what the plans is for your next season then? I guess you
go
back to Dundee and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm going back to Dundee. I think I'm speaking with them next week. And then if I were to get a new deal there, then I'd be delighted to come back here on loan just to get more game time. Because obviously it's only been a short spell right now, not been able to get the whole season. But if an opportunity came to come back, then I'd be delighted to do it.
Yeah, I think if we are going to get a full season, hopefully we will next season.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get 30-35 games under your belt next season for Peter, that can only do you good in the long term.
Yeah, 100%. Just more and more experience playing at a high level. And if I can keep doing well, then hopefully I can stand me a good stand for the future going back as well.
Wasn't the easiest interviewing guys after a defeat to a relegated team, but I think Donny sort of comes across quite well spoken, and it was good to kind of finally speak to him.
Yeah, it was the first time we'd gotten around to speaking to Donny. He seems very level headed for such a young man. He seems to know that he's going to have to work hard, whether that be with Peterhead next season or Dundee or whatever it may be. But I think he's just the sort of guy that enjoys playing football. I dare say he wouldn't be fussed if you put him out in the left wing. He just likes playing football. A lot of these guys that have come along, you know, the impression we've gotten from them all is as long as they're playing football, that they're happy. They're under Jim and Davey. They're happy to come to Peterhead, and they can see it as a stepping stone, which benefits Peterhead and it benefits the player's career as well. So, you know, the players that have come in alone, Danny, Hamish and the rest of the guys, have done really well.
And the final game of the season then, down at Dumbarton, it would have been nice to kind of, as Kieran said, to finish it off with a win. And it looked, for a large part, like we were going to get the win, a win that we looked as though we were going to get from behind again. But in the end, it sort of petered out, and it was a last-minute goal that we conceded.
Yeah, it was one of them games. We went 2-1 up, but never really felt comfortable, I felt. And the fact that Dumbarton knew that a win for them would put pressure on Clyde tonight, as we record. Once it went 2-2, I think there was only ever going to really be one team that was pushing for that win. So they had something to go for. quietly I'll say it, but I was quite happy Dumbarton won. It means Clyde have to win tonight if it potentially puts them in a relegation playoff. I'm all for it. But it was a good goal, to be said, for the winning goal. The third one was a good header. You could pick the bones out of it defensively. You know, the ball's come a long way. But, you know, 91st minute, I think it was. And you could see the relief in the Dumbarton players' faces. So, yeah, they did well. And like I said, there was only one team really I felt was going to win it from the game at 2-2.
Stephen Boyd finally scoring. Scored in the second game of the season, and scored, waiting until the last game of the season before he gets another goal.
It would be fine if you could chip him a few in between. That would be good, Stephen. But as you've already mentioned, it's probably not the way we expected it to come from a header. Not typical fashion that he gets them sort of goals, but it'll be nice for him. It's been a difficult season for Stephen. A lot, you know, things have changed for him in the last couple of weeks as well. So it was nice for him to get a goal just to end the season on.
And Dell scores again to get two goals, which again, great finish.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said earlier on, it's not just token gestures that Derek starts. There's a reason why he comes on or he'll start. And as you said, a fantastic finish, nice positioning at the back post. He's tucked it away, and you know it gives a 2-1 lead. But unfortunately, we didn't manage to get anything from the game.
And Kieran's found that across from that kind of angle on his left foot, so we should be praising his contribution to the goal as well.
Yep, absolutely. Again, they've contributed well. I think Kieran's a lot of good things that we've done this season. That started from the back, he's been involved. I think Kyle Bailey, to start the season, he was involved in a few good things as well. So it's good to see him come on, as you said, from the left wing, good cross in. And Derek's right place, right time to finish it off.
And I guess the Scottish football moment for us this season was watching Lenny Wilson play in goal with his training bib on, which kind of sums up how things are in Scottish football these days.
I genuinely thought that was going to be your opening gambit tonight. I genuinely thought you were going to start with that. But yeah, very interesting. If anything summed up Scottish football at the moment, that was probably the moment. A lot of bizarre, but nonetheless, it's nothing surprising me just now. Yeah, I'm surprised I actually didn't get booked for having the same jersey as the other goalkeeper. It's been one of them seasons.
I should have actually been sitting here wearing the Bairns training bib on just...
just in case.
But it really doesn't work with a podcast though, does it? So only you would have seen it. So that was it. That was the season. It ended on a slightly sour note. There is still one game to play just to kind of tidy things up. But overall, how do you kind of sum up Peterhead's season?
Consistently inconsistent. But... Look, I think the start of the season in October, if someone said you'll stay in the league, would have bitten your hand off for it. It's one of them seasons that, yes, on the back of last season, we would have liked to progress slightly. Although we have done that, it's been a weird season for everyone. A lot of games, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of things have changed within the game as well. So the fact that we've stayed in the league is fantastic. But quietly... optimistic as well. I think if we can keep the core of them players, a lot of young players now as well, then, you know, optimistic for what could be next season with a full season, a good pre-season under their belt as well. You just never know. How would you sum it up?
You've got to look at it and say that based on last season, we're a place higher and we've got more points from less games. Which, and to be honest with you, I think as well, this league this year has been a harder league than last, obviously with Cole being added in and Partick Thistle being added in as well. So it makes it much more much harder league to, and as the league kind of progressed, it showed how difficult or tough it was for everybody. So I mean, the positive is yes, we've finished higher and we've got more points. I mean, if you look at it that way, you've got to be pretty happy.
Yeah, absolutely. It has been a good season in that terms of it's been a much tougher league. and we've got some good results from it as well. You know, we had that win earlier on in the season down at Partick Thistle. No one really gave us a chance. We went down, won the game. We've beaten Falkirk at home. We beat Airdrie at the start of the restart as well. A good result at Dumbarton with Ben Armour's goal. So there's a lot of positives. Just that maybe slight frustration that, you know, games against Clyde and Forfar have maybe slightly been what we're undoing. But yeah, if, like I said, if someone said to the start of the season we'd stay in the division, never really, you know, over the course of the season looked in danger of going down. I know mathematically it was always there until the third last game, but never really came to much. And a lot of good performances individually throughout the team as well. So yeah, it's been positive, it's been good. Just that maybe slight frustration with it, some of the results.
And there's a good building base for next season, as Jim said in the audio there, that it's key for him to try and keep as many of these players in that squad for next season and try and build on the good.
I'd agree. I think he's got the nucleus of a good squad. You know, even players have been there for a few years now, you know, Jason Brown, prime example, I think. Okay, maybe in the last couple of weeks, but I think he's matured as a player as well. There will be that rush decisions, but I think if you take that away from Jason, you lose part of his game as well. He always likes to play in the edge. But, you know, players like that, they're coming along with their development well as well. And, you know, you throw in a couple of young boys like we've done with Hamish Ritchie, we've got Naya Payne in as well, and their commitment. So if we can keep the bulk of them, as Jim mentioned, as you said in the audio, then, you know, I'd be confident of a good season next season.
I did ask you this question on Saturday, but I don't think you actually finished answering it, because I think Forfar were opening the show then. So for us, Comanche, this season, how did you enjoy it? How did you kind of assess how we did?
I think when you asked me that on Saturday, I started by saying it has been good because we've seen some good attacking games just at that point as Forfar scored. Overall, I've enjoyed it. We've been massively privileged to be allowed to go into Ballymore. You know, thousands of people across Scotland and I get access into football stadiums just now, so we've been privileged. It's been really good. First couple of weeks until we found our footing was maybe tricky behind the scenes, but since then, it's been good. Thoroughly enjoyed it, and you never know what could happen next season.
Do you think maybe it's just from my own perspective, but do you kind of look at games slightly different now?
Yeah, I do actually, because I think when you watch a game as a spectator, you maybe just watch bits and pieces, and you'll maybe slightly tune in and out of the game, so to speak, but you know, you'll do your commentating, and then you'll maybe see passages of play, and it's, you're almost analysing the game, maybe from like a coach's point of view or a manager's point of view rather than as a spectator's point of view. So I think maybe in that sense, the way I look at a game has changed. Even watching football on TV, you think things have maybe slightly changed as you're watching it. So I think that's been good as well, seeing the game from a different angle. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
And we should take this opportunity. I know we've done it individually on social media in the last couple of days. Just to thank everybody at the club for allowing us to do it, in particular Martin Johnson and the chairman, Roger Morrison, who have been excellent to us since we've been there, and all the players and the management as well.
Yeah, 100% agree. We can only put out the content that we've got if, you know, with their help. You know, I mentioned it last night. I know on a Tuesday night, if they've been beaten at home, that the first thing they want to do is just get changed and go home. They don't really want to be doing media stuff. But thankfully, they take that time. We've yet to approach anybody to speak to them. They've said no. We know Simon Ferry maybe does a sharp shoot, shall we say, if you're listening to Simon. We'll catch you next season. But yeah, the players, staff, you know, from the top of the club, even, you know, when we originally started doing this, you know, the ladies in the coffee shop as well for our lunch and coffee. So, yeah, everybody in the club's been fantastic since we've been there.
Yeah, and I think sometimes as well, you may have heard Simon Ferry's input on the substitute bench now and again. whether or not it was audible or not, I don't know, but it was good experience, and I'll really look forward to looking back on in years to come and say, oh, that was us.
Yeah, there's been a lot of positives, and as we said, we sort of grew into it. We enjoyed it. We hope people that was listening to it enjoyed it, and we hope that whilst they couldn't have been in the stadium watching the game, that they got some sort of feel of what was happening, going by the audio and the visuals at the scene.
So that's the 2021 season finished then. We'll briefly look forward to what we might expect next season. It's difficult to kind of assess what we're going to expect. The plan is that it's not the Betfred Cup now, it's the Premier Sports Cup, is going to start beginning of July. That's been penciled in, and the league campaign starts at the end of the month. So that looks like as though all the leagues are going to get a full season, a full campaign, which will be good. Questions of whether or not there'll be fans in or not, so we won't really cover that. But from a Peterhead point of view, Jim's squad, what areas do you think he'll be keen to look on? I know he said in the audio he's going to maybe get a striker and a defender.
I would agree with him. I think left back. Maybe I play left back and centre back. I think when Ryan Conroy's out, you don't really have a natural left back. So maybe someone in there. And I do think a striker. I think Ben Armour has shown glimpses of what he can do, but injuries have maybe hampered him slightly with a weird season. I would think a striker. We don't score many goals, so I think a striker that can chip in with, you know, 10, 15 goals a season would be absolutely ideal. And, you know, as you said, the midfield's got to take care of themselves. So, yeah, a defender, striker, maybe a goalkeeper, question mark. I think there's maybe something that can be done there. The mistakes that have sometimes crept in, I think you've got to give Lenny a chance. He's waited long enough. He has been in and out, you know, start of the season as well. Maybe a question mark if both keepers will be here next season.
Well, OK, we'll pick up on that point then. The two goalkeepers, I agree. Yeah. I don't think both of them will be there next season. I think it's more likely that Lenny will be. And at the age that he's at, he's now been at the club 2 years. I think he's done everything that's been asked of him. He's been quite open about the mistakes he's made from a personal point of view in terms of you know, reasons why he wasn't playing at the start of the season, but he's knuckled down, he's gotten on with it, and you know, I think he deserves to at least have a decent run is number one. If he plays what, 10 games and it's mistake after mistake, then obviously, yeah, you then have to drop him, but you can't just keep dropping him for somebody else. So if you're going to keep Lenny Wilson, you then have to say, well, are we going to bring in a young keeper who's not going to push him, or do we bring in an experienced keeper who will easily slot in if we do drop him?
I think personally the ideal world would be if Lenny is our number one. As you said, he's waited long enough now, he's bid his time, he's admitted faults on his part. He would be, if he is a number one, I personally like to see an experienced number two, because I think that would help him as a goalkeeper and maturity as well. You know, an experienced guy coming in, you'd also feel that if Lenny is going through a bad phase, then this experienced goalkeeper can come in and, you know, you're quite calm and assured with the back line as well. I think an inexperienced goalkeeper coming in, whilst it may be good for him to push Lenny, there would always be that doubt in the back of your mind that it's still two very young goalkeepers, depending on the quality of your second goalkeeper that comes in. As you said, I think Lenny's waited his time. He's waited 2 years. He's probably disappointed when both keepers, you know, when Josh came in, there was and Lenny, that he wasn't number one. There is reasons for that, but he's admitted mistakes. I think he deserves his chance next season. He played three games, then he was dropped. Obviously, he played Dumbarton, conceded three, but, you know, I still think that he's a good goalkeeper. I like his positioning and communication. I think that is important for a goalkeeper. I personally think he does deserve that run in the team.
I don't think Probably should say we're not sort of poo-pooing the performances of Josh Ray. I just think that out of the choice of the two, I think it's more likely that it'll be one but not two. Josh did brilliantly well at the start of the season, but towards the end, mistakes did come in. And you will expect that from a 20-year-old goalkeeper. But I just think he's got his sights set on pushing himself to higher levels.
Yeah.
And the fact that Queen of the South had taken him on loan would suggest that maybe would be an option for him.
I'll just clarify, just in case there is any confusion, the reason I'm saying I don't think both keepers will be here, for the simple fact that, as you've mentioned, I think Josh will want to push himself. But I also don't think that if Josh stays at Peterhead, then Lenny would want to, in terms of, I don't think he'll fancy a third year sitting on the bench. That is the angle that I'm coming at. Be delighted to have both keepers, because if we do, I think we've got two fantastic goalkeepers. But on the basis of, I think, as you've rightly pointed out, I think the fact that Queens took a look at Josh, they had him on that 7-day emergency loan deal or whatever it was, he's got a taste for it. I think he will want to push himself. A couple of mistakes doesn't make a bad goalkeeper, and I think he will, you know, prove to be a really good goalkeeper for a club. Whether it's us or whether it's not, we don't know. But I do think there's a good goalkeeper in him, and he'll want to go further. Likewise, if Lenny's still at the club, and as well as Josh, I don't think Lenny would want to stick around to sit on the bench for a third season.
I think maybe if he goes to a full-time club and is training full-time, that might just help his development, and that's maybe what he's seeking. You know, essentially, this is the first time he hasn't been full time in his career. I know, as I said, he's only 20, but he's been so used to full time training. He maybe wants to get back to that as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think the 7-day Queens thing would have been an eye opener for him in terms of this is what he could be doing on a day to day basis, rather than just the odd Tuesday, Thursday night training. I think he'll want to get back to it. If he does, great. I think, like I said, he's a good goalkeeper. But that's why I've got question marks on whether that too would be here next season.
Strikers is obviously going to be a big point for us in getting a goal scorer, because that's two seasons in a row now that Scott Brown has been a top goal scorer. Ben Armour has chipped in with four. So out of the ones that we've got at the moment, so Stephen Boyd, Ben Armour, Isaac Lane is there, and Leah Payne, it looks as though he can play a striker. Are they going to be there next season, or is it just a case of where maybe we're going to get rid of them all, or, you know, are we just going to add to what we've got?
Will they all be there next season? I'll say no. I don't think they all will be there next season, but I think Jim will look to add two strikers.
I think
that's personally what I think he'll look to do.
I think if you look at the ones that we've got, I mean, I think Isaac Lane has been, let's be blunt, it's been a disaster. He hasn't worked out to the point that maybe what Jim was looking for. He was looking for that at number nine, at a focal point striker. He's been given opportunity after opportunity, hasn't delivered. Ended up going back to Dumbarton. I think he's only made two appearances, and less than 90 minutes combined for them. So I highly doubt that if he's going to be back for next season, which does obviously lead that we're going to need a lead striker, a number nine.
The Isaac Lane deal, on paper, I was delighted with it when we got him in. I thought he's a big striker, focal point, target man. Yeah, it's going to work. It didn't, as you said, it was a bit of a disaster. Again, Ben Armour's game time in the last couple of months has sort of dropped off as well with injuries and, you know, other little niggles that he's had. I think maybe a good pre-season might be good for him as well. Whether he wants to come, I wants to say, yeah, that's another matter. Whether Jim wants to keep him again is another question. But I think we do need a striker that ideally can hold up the ball well. I think we've got that with Naya Payne. is Naya a natural goal scorer? Yet to be seen, but again, every team is looking for a natural goal scorer. Easier said than done. I would like to see someone come in that would give us about 10, 15 goals a season and just take the pressure off other avenues, because I do feel that if we do go a goal down, it's very unusual for us to go and, you know, get two or three. It's normally winning by the odd goal here and there. What if we scored 20, 24, 25 goals maybe this season? You know, won a game. That's not going to push you into that promotion playoffs or top half just scoring that amount of goals.
If you look at the guys that's there, I mean, Armour, we've mentioned Boyd, they're not number nines, they're not central. They're both, I think Armour is more suited to maybe playing in a wide area, and Boyd as well. I mean, if you think back to the start of the season before he got injured, Alan Cook was playing up front as well. So he was almost trying to find somebody who can fit into that role, and it just hasn't been filled in yet.
No, it has been a problematic area. Again, Jim's changed it a few times, different strikers, but when I really got nothing, it's really worked. And as you said, Scott's were the top goal scorer for the second season in a row. Whilst it's good that although the strikers are on the scoring, midfield's chipping in, but they can only do it for so long before you need your strikers to have more of a contribution. Hopefully, over the summer, Jim will get someone in that can do that job.
And I think if we can keep Scott Brown again, I think that would be a key signing for us. Not just because he's a captain, but because he delivers so much. Played every game this season, which is the only player to do that. So if we can keep him again, I think that'll be a launching pad to others sticking around as well.
I agree. I think if he stays, we'll then see, you know, a few other guys sign on. It doesn't go unnoticed how popular and likeable Scott is around the camp, and I think, you know, especially during the lockdown last season, he was key to a lot of the players and, you know, their morale and whatnot. I think he's vital for the team on the pitch, but just as well off the pitch.
So all in all, there's a basis of a very good squad there. Obviously, there are some loan signings, which I know, like I said, maybe Danny Strachan, who may be persuaded to come back again for a full year, and Dundee might see that as a good opportunity for him. But other than that, it's a good squad, and what, maybe two, three players at the most to add?
Yeah, I would think we wouldn't be too far off it. If you've got two or three, you know, you've got that defender in, you've got the striker that we hope would get us a few more goals, then, as we said, we've got the nucleus of a good squad. I know we maybe said it, what, 5-6 weeks ago now, outside chance of promotion playoffs. If you can go and add to that squad, you just never know what could happen next season.
Yep, so that's next season. We'll just wait and see what Jim does, and I'm sure he's got the plans working already behind the scenes. As soon as the whistle was blowing on Tuesday night, the plans were almost being implemented.
I think once it was guaranteed that we were going to be in League One, I think a lot of negotiations have started with current players, and, you know, maybe speaking with the board about players, excuse me, that he's looking to get in for next season. You know, if you can get your business done early and get the players in for a couple of training sessions before the Betfred Cup, gives you a good platform to start with.
Well, that'll be it then. Thanks again, Martin, for joining me. Next week will be our end of season review, and we'll also have our second annual Blue Toon Podcast Awards for 2021, so we'll announce the winners for that as well. We'll also be mentioning that on our social media in the coming days as well, so keep an eye out for that. We'll also have something very exciting news about what we've got in store for the summer, something I think we're both particularly excited about, and we're really hoping that you guys will enjoy it too. So until then, my thanks to Martin for joining me as well, always, and we'd also like to thank you everyone for listening this season. That'll be it. Cheers, and stay safe, and we'll see you next week.